Live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. Joseph, does it sound like I'm just a half a step slow today?
How you doing, huh?
Oh, that was good. That's like Robert De Niro.
No, what's wrong with you? Richard. Look at you.
No, it was a long day yesterday, but it was a great day, right, Mr. Greg? Invited by
But I'm just thinking, who's Robert De Niro? I thought it was Richard De Niro.
It's Richard De Niro.
Richard
right?
De Niro. Dave.
Richard De Niro.
No, it's Robert.
It's Richard.
No, Richard De Niro.
Eric, is it Robert or Richard?
Well, technically it's Robert, but no,
it's Robert Gere.
Once again.
No, Richard Gere.
Robert Gere.
No. Well, actually, we're making fun of someone else for one time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not that asleep to know that. But it was a long day, right?
Great day yesterday. But I'm excited, though, to hear about Don John and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's life, basically.
Yeah, look at you. I like you. How you doing, huh?
Yeah,
hey,
absolutely.
You're from New York.
From the scenes I've seen, he spends a lot of time on the computer.
Yes,
he does.
And,
yes.
You know, it's
trying to fix the computer right now.
Well, we're trying to fix it. He was trying
issue.
To.
What's wrong with your computer?
Well, have
do you know
have
much
some
about computers?
With his hand.
Oh, perfect. Eric knows. Hey, shut down the show. Let's get you a computer.
All right, here we go. We'll be back on next Saturday.
What was the message? It said automatic repair.
I'll talk to him on the break about it.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
I think
it's running through diagnostic anyway.
I think the issue is that Don John got a hold of your computer, visited a few websites.
And he was looking at some of the naughties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don
John.
Do get viruses.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think this is a virus, though.
No, it went to the doctor.
Oh, good.
I think so.
Because, you know, there's only a few things that matter, right?
In life?
Well, my body.
Your body?
Your
body doesn't matter. What are you
pad.
Talking about? Your what?
My pad.
Oh, what's going on there?
my boys, my
your
family,
boys.
My
oh,
girls,
yeah,
my
yeah.
church.
I saw that.
And my porn.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. You said it with an
well.
Accent. Have you seen that movie, Eric? What was it called?
Don John?
Yeah, Don John.
Yeah, Don John.
I have not.
No. Yeah. We'll see if you want to see it after the review by Joseph Erdo.
Yeah, so that's what we're featuring today. You know, that song is from the trailer. It's from the movie that we just played. Mark Wahlberg, right? Marky Mark and the
Marky
Funky
Mark.
Bunch. Good
How's
Vibrations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By the Beach
no
Boys.
It was Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's
Good Vibrations, a remake of the Beach Boys?
No, that's something different.
What? Right, Eric? Good Vibrations.
Different song.
Yeah, completely different.
But when I first saw it load into the software, I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the song is played in the movie, and you could see it in the trailer. It's one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
When Don John pulls up alongside, he's singing this song in his car, and there's this lady next to him watching him sing the song. You see him, you know, rocking out to the song. Yeah, see?
Oh, that one.
Yeah,
I'm not going to bother singing this
You're
one.
Dancing. He should, yeah. You know, we need a camera so we can watch him dance.
That's what he does in the movie, and then the lady next to him looks at him like he's crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She goes, you look like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you might not win today's trivia game.
Well, he's not going to win.
Yeah,
he's not going to win anyway.
We have an edge.
It could be Twilight trivia.
Well, I could win.
No, you still wouldn't win.
Jordan, what's his name?
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt. Well, look at him and just look
you
at his picture.
You know who he
yeah.
is.
Well, what does he play?
But don't look into
The Dark Knight Rises. Robin.
Robin?
The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, Heather.
Angels
Ledger.
In the Outfield. The little
Heath
boy
Ledger.
That sees the angels and Christopher Lloyd.
Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger.
He looks like Heath Ledger, actually.
Oh, really? Like, Jordan Gordon. Oh,
Joseph
there he is.
Gordon
movie with
yes.
Heath Ledger. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Absolutely.
Oh, what do you hate about me?
Many things.
No,
your body, your pad, your
oh,
ride.
Oh, yeah. He was in. He's the guy in the dungeon.
Yeah, wow, imagine that. That's why we're
now
talking to
it.
Our page.
Yeah,
the funny
Robin.
Thing is, like 2 weeks ago, Dave's saying, wow, what a great actor this Joseph Gordon-Levitt is. And
I don't remember.
Forgets.
What movie did I see him in?
Well, don't look.
The Dark, many, but
good
the Dark.
Random enlightenment.
But one that I know for certain that you've seen that you know him well from is The Dark Knight Rises. He plays Robin.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Robin.
Well, don't look into his IMDb page too much right
I already
now.
Did.
It's hard to discuss this with Dave because either he's old or he's on drugs. But he just doesn't remember. The
Eric, which one are you picking?
Older drugs.
Or maybe just
maybe
pretending
a little of both.
For random enlightenment.
I don't want to accuse you of being a drug
No,
addict.
But you don't. But the random enlightenment is funny when you don't pretend.
I was pretending. Okay, now I got you off track.
Well, no, you didn't.
Oh, well, I did.
We're going to do something a little bit different with the trivia today. Because, you know, again.
And that guy outside, he said, what? You guys pick on me. Really, the Napa guy. What's his name, Eric, the Napa guy?
Fred and Dan.
Fred and Dan, he said, his wife said, you are picking on me. That's what
we
he said.
Do.
He did.
Should we not pick on him next week if he wins today?
Okay.
Well, okay. If you win, we
if
won't
win,
pick on
him. Give me a reprieve.
When you say you don't know Joseph Gordon-Levitt, we'll say,
I do
oh,
now.
Dave,
well,
that's a shame. He's a great actor.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just looking at answers.
A thespian. Okay. Here's his roles that he's done before.
Rules.
Oh, he was also
yeah, Rules of Attraction. I saw that movie.
Dave has the answers and he still loses?
Yeah. He's actually looking up Joseph Gordon-Levitt right now. You've got to close out of it.
Okay.
Because you're going to cheat.
Closing out.
Yeah, close it. Close it
there
down.
There it is.
We're going to have
right
know,
there.
We're going to have like a lightning round near the end of the show.
And a
Joseph
sudden
Gordon
death.
Levitt, cuz we're yes, and a sudden death. So it's anyone's game today.
Anyone's game.
And it's, you know,
well, Eric or Greg.
Right. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt day.
Yes.
And so we're going to celebrate his you know, his career. We're going to talk about all of his movies, but of course we're going to talk about other movies as well. Don John, yes, is his movie. We also have on today Enough Said, James Gandolfini's second
and
to
that
last
is
movie.
Enough Said.
Okay, no, we'll review more of it later. And we also have on Rush, Ron Howard's movie.
Oh, I like
Ron We have a few
Howard.
Guests today, and of course, your Dave's Random Enlightenment, of course, all about sex addiction.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yes, you share your enlightening thoughts about that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and we all do. We all have cameos in this
yeah, see,
today.
I hired you for that.
Yeah. So, but of course, let's kick it all off with a question. If you want a lead today, get off that page.
I'm off the page.
Okay. If you want a lead today, 5 points.
Five?
This is an open-ended question.
Wow.
This is a big lead.
It's like an essay? I could win on this.
No, it's just a movie title, okay?
Oh, I thought it was like open-ended.
Oh, good.
It is open-ended, but you have to
like
get it right.
Like an essay, Eric.
Awesome.
Don John, of course, as we said, is about pornography, and we're gonna tell you a little more about it. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt has also started another movie about pornography several years ago. In particular, it was about a porn actress. So 5 points for the person who can tell me the title of that movie.
Loveless.
No.
Nope.
I know it's not that.
Well, can you go ABC?
No, I'm not. No, not for 5 points. And now, okay.
All right, let me wait.
What was it?
Okay, the title of the movie about 5 years ago.
I don't know how many years ago. It was about 5 years
and
ago.
And about an actress.
Are you sure was that old? It's not possible that the movie was maybe a year or two ago.
It might have been. You can take a guess. You're
There's
be...
one, but I forget what it's called, but it's with the girl from Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes?
With the Nicolas Cage flop.
I don't know if she was in it, but possibly. I'm
Carla something.
Carla Gugino.
Yeah,
you
know I
know
the
is.
Movie, but I forget what it's called. I didn't see it, but Redbox, I've seen it. Yes, she is, yeah. She's phenomenal.
Anyone want to take a guess?
Oh, what's the name
of
it?
Thinking.
Don't look it up. You're looking it up. You're looking it up.
Time's
I'm
up.
Not
See, I know the movie. I just don't know the title.
Inception.
Oh, wait, wait.
What is? How do you spell
I don't know.
Electrolux.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Ooh. What was it?
Electrolux.
I'm even looking it up, and I don't see it.
So nobody gets that, so we're on.
Who would ever get that? Jeez.
Well, yeah, that's for 5 points. Come on.
Yeah, but still, it could have been 100 points, right, Eric? It didn't matter.
Well, I would have definitely looked it up if it was 100 points.
yeah.
But again, it's anyone's game, sudden death a little bit later on, as well as our lightning round.
I think Joseph's on a point.
Should I? Can I get like a point and a half for knowing the movie, just not the title?
No. I'm sorry.
I
think so.
You get my respect, but that's
fine. Well, okay. Yeah. Very good.
All right.
And a free porn.
Yeah, let's.
Was that a good movie, by the way?
Careful there.
Because
Electrolux, I don't know. I actually never saw it.
No. Oh, okay.
I produced it and directed it.
Yes,
I started it. It was very good.
And
by
I'm
the
on
way.
The porn kick. All right. So Don John.
Well, he's the one that does look like Ron. So.
Yes. Yeah. And in Don John, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. By the way, he wrote and directed this movie as well. You know, this is his directorial debut.
Talent.
Yes.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a New Jersey guy who, dedicated to his family, friends, and church, develops unrealistic expectations from watching pornography and works to find happiness and intimacy with his potential true love. Scarlett Johansson also stars in this with a great accent, and Julianne Moore as well.
I've never heard her say great accent. I've heard other things great, but not she has a great accent.
In this movie, she's got a great accent.
Oh, I thought she was cute.
Okay, right. Well, she goes, hey, I like you. She says, you like movies? Huh? I like you. Look at you, huh?
Yeah, she said that. I saw that part in the trailer.
Right, right. So, did this movie look good to you?
To me, it does.
It looked good to you. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah, no matter what you say on there, whether it's good or bad,
it could go either way.
It looks great.
Well, it's good. It's different. I bet it is not a breakthrough,
but
it's so close to a breakthrough.
I was thinking it would be because Joseph Gordon-Levitt is very talented, and you know, if he's writing and directing, he went through a lot.
You know, it's an exceptional example that, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is an extremely talented guy. You know, as an actor, and as of course, as it turns out as well, as a filmmaker, you know, this is guy-friendly romantic comedy as well. You know, so you can take your girls to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm mixing accents now, but I cannot.
Yo, Adrian,
take your girls to it.
Yeah, you could take your girls to it. You could take your guys to it.
Girls? To a porn movie?
It's not a porn movie. It is a
romantic
comedy.
It's about a guy
comedy.
That enjoys good porn.
Yes, and he has to, you know, work to try to find out how, you know, because when you sit there and you watch all this pornography, or, you know, and we can discuss this because this is the theme.
Okay.
You know, you develop unrealistic expectations. But before we get to the theme, I just want to, you know, also say that the only thing that kept this movie from being a breakthrough, because it's got Tony Danza in it. He's excellent.
Oh, he's
He plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's father.
Looks pretty young, too.
Yeah, he's really good in this. He looks, you know, like an older Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You know, it's a really relatable movie. And
is it really now, Joseph? It's relatable.
Joyce.
It's relatable?
Yes. It's a really relatable movie.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Okay. But Julianne Moore is the only thing that held
her
back.
Had computer
really?
Issues.
She's usually good.
You know, and everyone
she's usually
else...
good in porn movies.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
Even in regular movies.
Everyone else is Boogie saying Nights. The complete opposite of me. They say it's cartoonish, and they like Julianne Moore, and that's all they liked.
Huh.
I love the cartoonishness of it. I loved how, you know, it's larger than life. I love that it's, you know, there's these characters. They have these strong accents, and it's just so much fun to watch. And it's got this really awesome message. But then you got Julianne Moore, just really weird how he's kind of like hooking up with her. And I don't know. I've just never found her that attractive. But of course, now I'm probably going to get other hosts calling
in. Isn't she cute? Julianne Moore? With me.
She can be at times.
Yeah. At which times?
But I understand what Joseph's saying.
Yeah.
But she was great in Game Change. Ever see that movie?
She was a good...
I don't remember.
That was a good movie. Sarah Palin.
Yeah, about Sarah
Palin. Yeah, I did see that.
That was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
She did a really good job.
Yeah,
I think she did better than Tina Fey.
She did better than Sarah Palin.
Yeah, she did. So, but the theme here is... And of course...
It doesn't take much.
Any, line two, Sarah Palin on the line.
If anyone wants to call in...
I can see Alaska from Russia.
If anyone,
I said it wrong.
If anyone wants to call in to talk about the theme of Don John, or if you've seen the movie, of course, go ahead and give us a call. What number can they call, Dave?
Okay, 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480, and that's 1480, as in 1480 AM.
Yeah, so of course...
That could have been Sarah Palin.
Yeah, it could have been.
Don't know who that was.
It could have been Sarah, because she probably forgot to say...
Sometimes people call just to hang on the hold, because you can hear the station.
Oh, you can do that?
So they listen on the hold to listen to the
station.
That
must be Sarah Palin.
And they don't realize you can go to the internet or download our free app.
Oh, see, and you're right. The app is excellent, by the way. So where do you go? To iTunes or something?
Yeah, if you're on iPhone, go to iTunes.
Okay.
If you're on Android, just go to Google Play.
Hey, see? I like it.
So when
back to you.
So when you're inundated
Excuse
constantly...
Excuse me, Johnny. You're still here.
Yes, I am. When you're constantly inundated with unrealistic expectations, how do you find happiness with someone with whom a relationship feels like settling for less? You know? Mm-hmm. If you're constantly, you know, looking at pornography...
Can you break that question down a little bit?
If you're really looking at pornography and seeing these, you know, women who... I mean, of course, they're all like airbrushed and
CGI. No, let's start over. When you're constantly inundated with unrealistic expectations, who is...
If you or Greg or myself or Eric or the listeners... What? What? With a partner?
I mean, oneself has unrealistic expectations.
If you have
unrealistic... was apparently his hand, I'm assuming.
Right.
You mean
right.
None of that stuff is real?
What I'm saying is, okay, I took this course at ASU back
you
when
did.
In college. It was all about, you know, love, romance, and society,
really?
and the media.
Yeah. And what was the homework like?
We watched movies.
Okay.
That's what I did all the time. But that's what I do. Right.
Don John.
Yeah, Don John. Okay, yeah. No, but, you know, even Disney, you know, with all the Disney princesses and stuff, it makes you have this unrealistic expectations of these fairy tales and stuff like that. So even myself, I see myself, you know, expecting that I'm going to have this, like, gigantic world, earth-shattering romance, a meet-cute, as they call
it. Set up by a carpet that flies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And narrated by Robin Williams.
You know, but life doesn't work like that. So how do you have a relationship with someone when you can't have that?
Yeah. So there's really two parts to this. One has unrealistic expectations, and maybe your partner has unrealistic expectations of you.
Okay.
Both.
Sure.
They both happen.
Well, I don't think his hand had any expectations of him in this one.
Yeah, I
think so. Well, remember, it was 11 times, so.
Oh, that's right.
I don't even know that. All right, so here's my comments on that. Of course, settling for less.
Right or left?
See, I think settling for less, and you have that part of the question, only reflects back to you a belief that you don't deserve anyone better or there is no one better. But really getting on to the unrealistic expectations, I think the media does a horrible job. Movies, TV, on the fairy tale. It doesn't happen. It's always external, meaning that it's something that you can attain outside yourself. I think that you got to go within first and foremost and really realistically clean up anything that's disempowering, anything that's a fairy tale. Because after all, if you have an unrealistic expectation of happily ever after without you doing any work internally, good luck, it's not going to happen.
Oh, is that personal advice for me?
No,
oh,
okay. Everyone in this room.
Oh, okay, in this room. You're lucky, Eric. You're in the other room.
Yeah.
No, right? No, I agree with you. And this movie theorizes that you have to lose yourself in another person. It can't be all, you know, like you said, kind of one-sided and expecting all these other things. You have to lose yourself and allow that other person to lose their self in you.
And what does that mean to you, losing yourself?
Intimacy.
Okay, so
becoming vulnerable.
I like that. Nice.
Allowing yourself to be vulnerable and accepting the vulnerability of someone else.
And break down the defense mechanism, the shields that people hold up, the false sense of security and the ego.
That's when you go in for the kill.
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree with you. And so many people don't do that. The funniest thing about dating is that two people meet each other pretending to be someone else, getting to know each other. That is silly. Think about that.
Yeah.
Right, Eric? It's pretty silly.
Yes, everything you said.
Yeah, exactly. Silly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I think it's a real problem. And the dating connotation has a problem built into it, is that dating itself is sort of a test period, trial period. But like I said, people pretend they're on their best behaviors. That's not who they are. Just be who you are.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to be found out anyway.
Very true, as we'll find out in our discussion about Enough Said.
Oh, that is Enough Said.
Great lead.
Oh.
But, you know, again, great movie. You know, Don John, go see it. It is very close to a breakthrough. Very strong thumbs up. Highly recommend it. And, you know, again, a good message as well. You know, love the performances here. Love the message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's stay away from that pornography because it does a whole bunch of bad things.
Yeah, totally agree. Sometimes. Nicely said.
All right. So now, of course, we're tracking Joseph Gordon-Levitt's career. One of his first roles was
Angels in the Outfield.
Very good.
Yes.
You know, so our song taking us into the break is Take Me Out to the Ball Game by Ron Rode. But here's our question, okay? This is for, let's do 2 points.
And what's the score?
Matthew McConaughey.
Zero. All right. In Angels in the Outfield, the California Angels win the championship without the help of any angels because championships must be played without any heavenly help. So then, why was the lead angel, played by Christopher Lloyd, briefly present during the game? Okay. Why was there an angel present during the last game in Angels in the Outfield? A, he was just picking up some peanuts and Cracker Jacks for Jesus. B,
definitely not that one.
10-10. B, he was just there as a fan of the game. Or C, he was just checking on the pitcher played by Tony Danza, who was to become an angel himself soon. By the way, Tony Danza was in Don John.
C.
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 All right, everyone gets 2 points. Danza's character had been a smoker for years and only had 6 months left to live after winning the championship.
Oh,
going
out
on
top.
Yeah, it's sad. Sad Disney.
Although I would like to believe that Jesus does eat Cracker Jacks.
Of course he does.
And looks for the toys.
Right.
Well, they're more like paper things now.
Oh, yeah. They are? I haven't had some.
They used to be cooler.
What are they now?
They're like tattoos or stickers. Nothing more than paper.
Oh, is there anyone here that can get us some Cracker Jacks?
Yeah.
All right.
Kathleen.
Yes.
When you come back, please bring us some Cracker Jacks.
Well, let's take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion in the world of entertainment. This is Breakthrough Entertainment, live from the 14 AM studios, KPHX, in Phoenix, Arizona. And what song is that, Mr. Joseph?
Take me out.
Oh, keep singing. This is karaoke. Come on. Your turn, Greg.
They mentioned Cracker Jacks in this song.
Yeah.
That's where I got that from. Of course,
right
I don't know anything about baseball.
See, Cracker Jacks, that's where it came in. All right, we'll be right back.
If we ever get back.
that.
And it's root, root, root for the Dodgers. Oh. Oh.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, live 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. That sounds like
Third Rock from the Sun.
Johnny Be Good a little bit.
No,
remember?
It's the theme song it's to the one of the greatest
movies
of all time.
Of all time, Married
that
with
was
Children.
Funny.
It was a really good show, wasn't it?
Yeah. Married with that. Children? No, I saw Modern Family the other day.
Modern Family, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good one too.
That
but,
was pretty.
But Third
good.
Rock is a lot funnier.
They syndicated. Greg told me.
Right
after 3 years.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Well, of course, we're celebrating. Yeah, we're celebrating Joseph Gordon-Levitt's career.
Yeah, celebrating him.
You're not celebrating him? You don't like him?
We're boycotting him.
I wouldn't use the word celebrate so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about discussing?
Discussing, yes.
We are tracing Joseph Gordon-Levitt's career. We're celebrating because it's
tracking.
A really good movie. We're celebrating
Don John.
Okay.
Don John.
All right. Third Rock from the Sun. Of course, Dick was played by John Lithgow, right?
He was.
Really funny guy.
And that buddy was scary in Dexter.
Right? Yeah, he's great in Dexter.
Yeah. He is great, yeah.
Now, he was the high commander on Third Rock from the Sun, right? Dick was.
Yeah.
Now, which of the following ranks is that of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Tommy?
Okay,
he played Tommy. Which of the following was his rank? A, information officer. B, communications officer. C, security officer. You get 2 points if you get it right.
What are they again?
Information officer, communications officer, or security officer?
B.
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 And everyone gets it wrong.
It's
it was
A.
Information officer, yes. French Stewart's Harry. Harry was communications officer, while Kristen Johnston's Sally was the security officer.
Yeah.
I was so certain it was B.
Yeah. Well,
you know why?
Why?
Because that's what Greg and Eric said.
Well, you can't just follow everyone.
I don't know.
If you follow everyone,
then
you're never
going
to...
Well, I wanted to do it kind of quickly. Yeah, there you go. I want to do it kind of quickly. There's one question later on, but I don't know if you have down, so I'm not going to say exactly what happened. When we go on to break, I'm going to bring it up to you to see if you could ask this, even though I'll get it right.
Okay.
I'll stay
ask
out of that.
Ask me during the
one.
Break, yeah. and you know, I'm sure that...
Yes. The only reason I'm not saying it now is because I get the feeling this could be one of the questions, so I just don't want to... It involves a scary movie that he was in for about 45 seconds.
Right. We're not going to do that one, but...
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So if you want to, it's H2O, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, he was in Halloween H2O.
I was going to say it was interesting seeing an ice skate in his face.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that was early in his career.
Michael Myers. Yes.
You know, so we're not
around the Third Rock time.
Right. So it was so brief that we didn't, you know, exactly. We have a lot of
questions. I didn't know if you were going to say, so how did Michael Myers kill Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
That would have been a really good question.
A skate.
Was it with an ice skate?
Yeah, an ice skate.
That would have been a really
how
good question.
How about in Michael Douglas in... what was that one with Sharon Stone?
Basic Instinct. That's an ice pick.
Yeah, ice pick.
Way different.
It's similar.
Right. And, of course, we have on our interview right now, we have on writer, director, actress Deandra Brown from Plum. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We're great. Thank you for calling in.
So I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about the film, and then we'd love to ask you a few questions about it. You know, according to your synopsis, five friends embark on a road trip to Las Vegas, during which they have an encounter with a UFO. Upon taking control of the situation, one of the friends finds herself in the middle of it all with the leader from the other planet. It's premiering tonight. You've got your red carpet premiere. How excited are you?
I'm extremely excited.
Yeah, and so, you know, is this your first film, or, you know, what have you done so far?
Oh, no, I did a lot of short films back when I was in high school and college, and then I did my first feature film entitled Who Else to Blame, which came out in 2010, and it's on Amazon now. So this is my second feature film.
Oh, that's excellent, excellent. And now you're from here, right in the valley, you know. So the premiere is going to be here. Where is the premiere, and can people come out and see the film tonight?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The premiere is going to be at the Super Saver Cinema, and that's in Deer Valley, Arizona. Mm. Tickets are $5, and they're sold online only. You can't buy it at the door, and it's through the official website. You could pick up the tickets through there.
Okay, so through Super Saver Cinema's website.
No, it's on Plum's official website, which is www.plum-the-movie.com.
Excellent.
Or you could hit the Facebook page. It's Plum 2013.
Now, do you know the location? Is that the one on Bell Road?
I think so.
Yeah, it's right off the I-17 in Bell Road.
Yeah, that's right near me. Wow.
It's by Santisi Brothers. Great restaurant, right?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's right by there.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
And the 13th-floor haunted house.
Exactly, yes. And, you know, so, you know, this is very exciting. Now, is all the talent, all the acting talent and crew from Arizona, or did you get people from out of state?
Oh, yeah, we have people from Tucson, Arizona. We have people from Los Angeles. San Diego. We have Canada, Russia.
Wow.
Yeah, people all over the world. But we did most of our shooting in Arizona, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Phoenix, and in Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
Are you part of the Phoenix Independent Filmmakers Group?
No, I'm not, actually.
Oh, you should check it out. They got a lot of talent.
Okay, I'll check it out. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And so tell us a few of the locations. Can you share with us any popular locations that we might know that if we come out and see the movie tonight that we'll recognize?
Yeah, you'll probably recognize Just Pizza. It's right in the ASU Tempe area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We Plum actually works there, but in the film it's called Lola Pizza.
Oh, and so. your character is Plum, right? You are Plum?
Yes, I play Plum.
And so tell us a little bit about your character. Who, you know, not just who she is on the outside, but who is she as a human being?
You know, she's really a sweet, nice, cool high school senior girl. And she's new to the earth pretty much, but she's been on earth for 10 years. Plum, in the film, you see her as a child and she grows up. So you kind of learn her history a little bit.
Oh, interesting. And, you know, here on Breakthrough Entertainment, we really like to talk about the themes of movies, their lessons, morals, any ideas that are brought up, any questions. So, you know, when people see Plum, what are you hoping that they walk away with? What kind of, like, questions or ideas do you hope that they have?
Oh, wow, that's a tough question. You know, Plum is a fun kind of like high school type fun movie. So I just want everyone to like just have fun with it and try to figure out the mystery behind it.
Oh, exciting. Okay. Very good. Very good. And do you have other projects that you're working on? Or are you you just focusing on this one right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually getting ready to do it's a remake of Cinderella movie, and it's entitled Broke City. And my mom and I are writing it together.
Oh,
wow.
Very cool.
How long have you been writing? Has this been a passion for you since you were very young? Although I must say you have such a sweet young voice, a very distinct voice, very nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so your passion, has this been going on for a while?
Oh, yes. I love writing. I've been writing, I guess you could say, from the age of like 10 years old. My mom, she writes all the time. She used to write books and stuff. But I was I write songs because I'm also a recording artist. So I started out writing songs, and then I kind of got into the filmmaking part.
So are you still doing music type stuff?
Oh yes, yes. My album Swami is on iTunes and Amazon.
Oh, nice!
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, where do you get your inspiration from? Not necessarily from Plum, but you know, just from all your music endeavors and your films, your short films. What kind of sources do you get your inspiration from?
Yeah, I would have to say my mom, because when she was younger, her goal was to be an actress, writer, singer, all of that stuff. So I kind of grew up around that, and I would have to say my mom, most definitely, and Beyonce. I'm a huge fan of Beyonce, so.
Excellent. And we're really encouraging people to come out tonight and see Plum at the Super Saver Cinema over on Bell Road. So what time does it start?
Well, it starts at 6, doors close at 6:30, and the cutoff time to buy tickets is 4 p.m.,
okay. And you're going to have all the actors there, the cast, the crew?
Yeah, the majority of the actors and cast and crew will be there.
Will there be a Q&A afterwards so that people can ask you guys questions? Or?
No, but in the beginning, we're going to introduce the film.
Okay, exciting. And if people can't make it out tonight, again, we really hope that they can, but if they can't make it out tonight, in the future, can they check it out on VOD or something?
Oh, yes, it'll be on Amazon and iTunes, Netflix, all that stuff. I'm not really sure the exact date, so it might be like the end of the year or next year, but it'll be all updated on the official website and Facebook page.
Well, excellent. Well, again, Deandra Brown, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck tonight with Plum, and we look forward to talking with you soon, hopefully about your Cinderella film.
Okay, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for calling in. That's good. 6 o'clock. Get tickets by 4 p.m., though. That'd be sort of cool.
Yeah. So let's do another trivia question. Yes. You know, so again, we want to thank her so much for joining us. It was a pleasure. And, you know, so go out there and see Plum. But, you know, this next song, of course, we're tied with 2-2-2. 10 Things I Hate About You, one of the greatest Joseph Gordon-Levitt movies
of
all time.
I've heard this many times.
Yes.
Yes? Yes, you bet you have. You've heard about 80 Things I Hate About You.
About 99.
this song is I Want You to Want Me by Letters to Cleo. And the question is, which of the following, again for 2 points, which of the following Shakespearean plays is 10 Things I Hate About You a modern-day retelling of? A, Romeo and Juliet, B, The Taming of the Shrew, or C, Hamlet?
B.
B.
C.
You sure
Greg and Eric.
This time. Yes, The Taming of the Shrew. I figured this one was a really easy one. Several names reflect the Shakespearean origin. Two characters' last names, Stratford, refers to William Shakespeare's place of birth, Stratford-upon-Avon. Another character's last name, Verona, refers to the birthplace of one of the corresponding characters from The Taming of the Shrew. And the high school in the movie, Padua, is the city in which The Taming of the Shrew is set.
Yes.
Darn it. Did I get that one?
No, you didn't get that.
Did you know they also made a TV show about it? And they
yes,
had the same dad play.
Right. I didn't.
That's
I never
how
watched
you know.
It.
He cheated. He researched
Isn't Padua
I've
the name of
that movie
the
like
Star Wars
10,000 times.
I think it is, yeah.
Wow.
But Star Wars, you know me and my Star Wars.
You don't
no,
like
thank
it?
You. No, not at all.
How about Star Trek?
I don't
Trek?
Like Star Wars either.
You don't?
No. About, oh, my God. What no. a waste of film.
How about Star Trek?
No.
Yeah.
That's all right. No. We'll pass.
How about Don John?
Yes. Yeah.
Hey.
Don John. You like that one. Okay, and electrifying.
Yeah, it has a good vibration to it, I think.
Electrolux.
Oh, yeah, that Electrolux. Yeah.
Look at you, huh? Look
How about you. Electrolux?
That I don't know because I haven't seen it.
Okay.
It
well,
sounds interesting.
We'll show that later. Okay, anyway, let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we will continue our discussion in the world of entertainment. This is Breakthrough Entertainment brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, and we will be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you.
communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, live 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I've heard this song, Joseph. What is it?
This is by Kobe Teeth, right?
Kobe Teeth.
Yes.
No, Toby Keith.
Toby Keith. It's courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. It's from Stop Loss.
Oh, beautiful. What's Stop Loss?
Stop Loss is a movie about a bunch of guys who they're stop lost from their tour of duty.
Oh. Right? Excellent. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, of course, we are discussing Joseph Gordon-Levitt today, his career, and we're tracing his career.
Thank you for changing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So Stop Loss, you know, which of the following actors did not co-star alongside Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Stop Loss? 2 points. Which of the following actors did not co-star alongside Joseph Gordon-Levitt? A. Channing Tatum. B. Ryan Phillippe. C. Alex Pettifer.
Channing Tatum. A.
I'll go with A.
I'll go with C.
And Dave now gets 2 points.
Unbelievable.
That's Alex Pettifer. Other stars included Abby Cornish and Timothy Oliphant.
I should have said C, too, because I've never heard of that guy.
Exactly.
Alex Pettifer, I am number four.
Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Magic Mike, yeah.
Oh.
He was the kid that Magic Mike taught.
Oh. Yes. And he had the sister and stuff.
Yeah, the hot sister. Yeah,
okay. Good one.
So now let's talk a little bit about Enough
two,
Said.
Two.
Yeah, well, no, now it's 4-4 because we're doing 2 points each. So it's 4-4-4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're trying to mix it up. Give you a little more of a chance to win. I don't know how.
That doesn't really give me a chance.
No, it doesn't. But trying to make it more interesting. All right.
For who?
For me. Enough said. Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays a divorced woman who, upon deciding to pursue the man that she's interested in, played by James Gandolfini, she learns that he is her new friend's ex-husband. Her friend is Catherine Keener. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. So again, this is James Gandolfini's second to final film. He's got one more coming out. And, you know, of course, you said this kind of looked interesting to you, right, Dave?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Looked good. Great. Funny. Charming.
Yeah? Well, did you see the movie?
No, I did not.
Because I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's
I'm good at
it's,
this usually.
Yeah. No, it's exceptionally charming. Okay, because I know you like to use the word cute all the time, and I would say that it is kind of cute as well, you know. But we'll mix it up. You know, it is incredibly cute. It's really charismatic pairing of these two stars, Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini. It's really thought provoking here with the theme. I'm giving it a very strong thumbs up. Again, kind of close to a breakthrough.
Wow.
Very close to a breakthrough.
Interesting.
Nothing particularly wrong with it. You know, the thing that I liked most about it, not necessarily James Gandolfini, I think he did a great job, but Julia Louis-Dreyfus was so excellent in this movie. I, you know, was never a huge fan of Seinfeld at all. And, you know, I liked her brief show. I think it ran two seasons when they had a little clock. It was like kind of like 24. It was a sitcom. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was like the old whatever, old Christine or something.
Well, that one too. I was never a fan of that one, but it was like Ellie in Time or something like that.
Never saw.
Yeah, it was a very short-lived show, but it was very funny. They did like it was 22 minutes of her life, each episode was. And, you know, so this is a really, you know, I love her facial expressions in this movie. I always, my mom always tells me that I have these facial expressions when people are, you know, telling me something. They can read me. They know exactly what I'm thinking. And, you know, she does that in this movie. You know, if someone is doing something that she doesn't like and, you know, she can't, like, pretend to laugh about it, she's got this face that's like, oh, God, this is terrible. So, you know, it's very funny. Have you ever seen this movie called... Please Give.
No,
it's a kind of an art house film. This is
what
by the same woman who directed that, wrote and directed that, Nicole Holofcener. Oh. You know that the dialogue is excellent. In Please Give, they have this wonderful exchange where you know they're eating something, and this old lady saying, you know, mine's dry, and then someone else says mine's dry, and she says mine's drier. You know, so it's very funny, and you know she does that. Really, it's very frank and funny dialogue. So again, thumbs up. And the theme, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this, Dave. And again, if people want to discuss the movie, if they want to, you know, chime in on our theme today, you know, for enough said, the phone number is 602-252-1480. Again, 602-252-1480. And the theme here is, what do you consider deal breakers in a relationship, and what things are you willing to live with? So, you know, do you have any general thoughts about that before we talk a little bit about, you know, on a deeper level?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. I think people need to identify deal breakers because I think there's non-negotiable items. I think there's a few. One, I would say, is drugs.
Yes.
Second, unfaithfulness. And those are two that come to mind that they're non-negotiable. And I think people go in their relationships not understanding that. They don't know what... the deal breakers are. So I call them red flags also at maybe a lesser degree. And I think it's really important that people understand what are red flags that are acceptable. What are red flags that are non-negotiables? Those are deal breakers. And, you know, in business, people have that. They know exactly what's okay within a range to accept a certain deal and what will absolutely not happen. This deal will not happen. You got to identify it.
Yeah. Do you have any examples of something that you might be able to live with, you know, that someone else, you know, might consider to be a little bit too annoying or something, but you're like, okay, you know, that's just part of another person's.
No, but I did think of something else, deal breaker, someone nagging all the time. Okay. But that is something good. I think there's a lot of, see, here's the thing is that when someone's annoying, is it the person being annoying or is it your filters interpreting that as annoying?
But either way, then you're not a match.
The what?
It's the other person.
Yeah, see? Then yeah. We could look at it that way. But so that's a little bit trickier when it's when you're part of the equation. When you're the receiver, there's someone the sender. You know, who's really annoying? I mean, is it some people get annoyed over everything and anything.
Yeah.
Some people get annoyed even when the other person's not annoying them. It's just their way of looking at the world. So
yeah.
I think it's important to look at yourself, look at your filters. How are you interpreting something? And what is pushing your buttons? Because after all, it's your buttons.
Yeah. You know, and I would definitely agree with you on the drugs. I also can't stand smokers. And so
Smoking would be another one.
I wouldn't, you know, I'm sorry. You know, and also heavy alcohol consumption. I think that I would have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
You know, and especially these things that change over time. It might be, you know, a little bit of alcohol now and then down the line into a relationship, all of a sudden they're drinking.
How about
a lot.
Emotionally not available?
Yes, that definitely.
That's
yes,
a big one.
We're back to intimacy.
Bipolar.
We need the intimacy.
Oh,
bipolar. Yes,
bipolar is a good one.
Saying heavy alcohol.
No, well, what was that?
That's an illness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But I might
know. when you were saying heavy alcohol, I thought you were going to say heavy set women. I was going to say, yeah, there we go.
Well, there's a question. If someone is, you know, thin when you marry them or when you get into the relationship.
Usually they gain some weight after.
How much weight are you willing to live with?
8 pounds.
8 pounds,
eight
exactly.
Pounds.
Well, 8 pounds,
I mean,
6 ounces.
It's not just the other person that gains weight.
It's both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
get the dudes get fat too.
Just,
So the poundage is
everyone
you're
gets
saying.
Fat. Well, we're joking around with that. Don't really mean it.
No, I'm not sure.
No,
that's,
but as Al Bundy would say, a fat woman came into the shoe
but
store.
But it could be a health thing if they're not taking care of themselves.
Well, then that's
because that's one of the things
Dave's
that comes
taking
up.
It too seriously.
I'm
adding some humor into it.
No, there's no humor involved.
That's one of the things that comes up in Enough Said. James Gandolfini, he hasn't taken care of himself. You know, he just.
Yeah, that's why he died.
Maybe.
Oh,
no, that's terrible. But
I'm not saying that in a joking way. I mean,
right.
Seriously,
right?
He take care of himself.
Right. And Julia right. Louis-Dreyfus, you know, at a party, she says,
"Is she related to Richard?"
No. She says that I'm going to buy you a calorie book for your birthday.
I saw that in the trailer.
Yeah, and that's terribly offensive, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of.
It's terribly offensive.
Depends
and judgmental.
How it's said.
But at the same time, you know, he has a history of not taking care of himself.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I don't know if that's I wouldn't classify that as a deal breaker, but
okay.
But some of the things that can clearly alter your personality, create new ways of being that are very detrimental, that's a problem. And I think you're right, Mr. Greg, bipolar is a scary thing.
Yes, I don't know if I'd be able to handle someone.
Ugh.
I mean, it is sad because it is an illness. You know,
it's a chemical imbalance in your brain.
Yes,
ah.
Yes. So, you know, so long as the person was taking their medication, but if they were in denial about it or, you know, something like that.
Or the meds don't work.
Right. Or
well, yeah, it's kind of hard. They say to get the meds just right. And
yeah.
So some people
yeah.
just
right. adjusting to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Disorganization. That's a big thing for me. That
really?
Would be a big deal breaker. If
oh,
someone's not organized.
Me.
No, you like disorganization?
How about or organization? Sometimes it's
or
a
organization.
Yeah, organization.
Right.
So you don't like someone who's highly organized?
Sometimes it could be too...
Anal retentive.
Too, exactly.
A-type personalities can go too far.
Yeah, too far. And that's what I'm saying.
Are
is,
you A-type, Joseph?
Yes, very much
are
so.
You?
Very yes. much so.
How about,
I can
predict,
tell by
I bet his closet...
Oh, I'm grinding my teeth right now.
Yeah. Okay, so let's have a bet, Eric and Greg. I bet Joseph's closet, based on that comment...
Is labeled.
Yeah, I mean, it's like like all the pants are together and the shirts and the... Am I right?
Well, I do that.
Oh, you do?
But I don't consider myself A-type.
Okay, so how's your closet look?
That's such a weird question.
Like all
you
the
know
shoes
that one
are put in a special place.
I mean, it probably looks like a retail store, right?
Well, I like to organize things. I like to organize.
So tell us how you do that. I'm curious. I am curious.
No, well, you know, everything's got to be in its place. And
which means?
I'm not going to tell
you. Do
you
label it?
Like, no, I
do you
don't
like
label it.
Color
no,
like boxes
I don't,
under your bed with labels.
Could
I'm
you
not
take
OCD.
A picture and send it to?
Yeah,
everyone?
I'll okay. I'll take a picture. We'll put it on Facebook. It on
absolutely.
Oh,
take
that
a
would
my,
be good.
At my into
Joseph's
my closet.
Closet.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, it could go either extreme.
Yes,
in
it
other
could.
Words, what you're saying, any extreme could be possibly a deal breaker.
Very much so. Now,
yeah.
how about smaller things? Are any of these deal breakers? Because in the movie, as
Let
the trailer
hear.
And Enough Said, he mixes James Gandolfini mixes his. Guacamole or a salsa, it removes the onions, and it makes Catherine Keener's character very angry at him because she wants her onions in her guacamole.
No, she sounds bipolar.
No, not a deal breaker.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be
about
a deal breaker
that's
for me.
So silly.
That doesn't bother
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother
Truly,
me.
Truly, the only real deal breakers, I think, are what you guys said. You know, if there's drug use, excessive alcohol, you know, drinking sometimes, fine, social, whatever.
The
but,
cheating, as he
and,
said,
and then the
that
cheating.
Would be, I'd be done.
Yeah.
I'd say
yeah.
One time, one chance.
Unless it was with
done.
Another woman, of course, that would be fine.
Even if you weren't included?
Well, no, as
you're
long
invited?
As I was included.
Battery's
next.
Not included.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have to negotiate.
Right, that is a movie. Very good. You're very proud of yourself.
Yes, I am. I
All
got
right.
2 points.
It's about old people.
Yeah.
It is?
Well, yeah, you're old, so you're thinking of movies about
battery's
old people.
Battery's not. No, it's not.
Yeah, it wasn't about old people.
No, it was about good vibrations.
What?
Well, yeah, those
Marky
little,
Mark.
Those
oh,
little
yeah.
things
yeah.
that flew around.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, of course, again, you know, Enough Said, big thumbs up. Go out and see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it looks good.
And if you have any other thoughts about, you know, any of these movies today, or if you want to, you know, we still have time a little bit later in their second hour. If you want to call and tell us about any of your deal breakers, give us a call. What number can they call?
They can call 602-252-1480 here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Enough said about that segment.
Yes, enough said. So let's go ahead and do our next trivia question. We are, you know, having a lot of fun talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt, one of his other films that everyone loves. Me, not so much. I thought it was good, but there was one actress who I thought was terrible in it. 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, she wasn't terrible.
I did see that.
She wasn't terrible.
I think she is one of the worst. One of the worst people in the world.
No, she's one of the best.
Zooey Deschanel.
Zoe.
I can't stand her.
She's great. What are you talking
excellent.
About?
I
love her.
She's like the worst. I cannot stand
no,
her.
No, she's
I
no deal breaker for me.
And I break out in hives.
She's not a deal breaker.
Really?
Zoe. She is cute.
Zoe is fantastic.
She's amazing.
Right.
Incredible.
Right. Well, so before we talk a little bit about 500 Days of Summer, do we have a second to...
Yeah, let's... Eric, how much time do we have right now?
You got about 2 minutes.
Okay, let's real quickly get Diane from Phoenix on the air, a deal breaker. Diane, welcome to the show.
Hi. I don't know how old you guys are, but I would suggest to all of you that if in your relationship the sex is good, the deal breakers would minimize greatly.
Very so, true. Very true.
Oh. You should have called in for the sex edition last week.
I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, I would.
Well...
It would change some things.
And so you're saying that. So let's do the opposite. So you're saying if the sex is bad, then everything's a deal breaker?
Well, pretty much. Yeah. I think you have to have a chemistry, absolutely. And I think that the younger you are, the primary chemical draw is sex.
Wow. And
very true. Two of us in here are young. Dave, the host, is old. So that's why he didn't get it as
Diane,
much.
Diane, what is considered
I agree with
old
you, though,
these
Diane.
Days?
Pardon?
What is considered old these days?
What is considered old these days? It depends on how young you are. 66.
I like sex.
Wow. Thanks, Dave.
The older you get, the younger an old person is.
There we go.
Exactly. Wow. So that's an interesting
great concept. Point there, Diane. I agree with you.
That is a great point.
In a relationship, the older you are, your deal breakers, you choose, you generally have a family, and the deal breakers change. They really do. What you will put up with and what you will tolerate and what you will try to make better. You just don't desert a long-term relationship because of any particular one thing.
Well, very good. Thank you so much for calling in. We have to go on a break right now, but we'll talk to you soon. That was Diane saying sex is sort of the
she's
only
right
thing.
She's right on, though.
I'm not
yes.
sure we're going to have a
so
discussion
nothing else
about
matters
that.
Is basically what she's saying.
Yeah,
well,
that's right. No, we're going to, yeah, that's
I
easy
agree.
For you
I agree
to say.
Somewhat. Not that nothing
that's
else matters.
If other people agree, I'd love them
matters.
To call in.
Yeah, call yes. in 602-252-1480.
And here's my personal cell.
252-1480. We're going to talk about is sex the only thing in a relationship. And after this break, we will have a frank discussion on that. Joseph, we have time for that, right?
We have an interview after the break, but we'll make time for it.
We'll
definitely
make time.
The last interview.
Next hour, yeah.
And we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.